Time to address something. And I told all of you, for those of you who know me now, maybe then give me a little more bit, because I feel like I'm right there. That's a, I get pretty you know, exhaustion is one of the worst enemy, okay? As you know, yesterday I was thinking, I'm like, okay, I think I'm a tough cookie, okay? I don't quit until I can't get up. but at the same time, it's wise to stop sometimes, you know? I love Jesus, and my life is His. I want to serve Him until I drop. But at the same time, I want to be wise. I came back from Haiti last week, didn't stop. And then I start feeling exhausted. And so, and then of course this cold weather, I'm gonna blame it on the cold weather. You know. but God is good.
Amen.
There's something I wanna say to all of you, and I want you to take it to heart. For those of you who knows me, you know I'm straightforward. I strive to be like Jesus. Ask my kids, ask my wife. I do my best to be honest. I do my best to be a good friend. If you want to be a friend, guess what? You'll find it in me. But many times I said social media, I use the social media platform to preach the gospel, to share my messages, verses. Once in a while I'll share. Even for Haiti, a lot of people, they think, they know Haiti's in bad shape, but Haiti's got 10 departments. There's only one department that, maybe three departments out of the 10 that are ruled by gangs, all right? So right now, if you say to someone, I'm going to Haiti, they think you're crazy because, the news, it's always bad news on the news, right? Unless you open the Bible. But at the same time, Haiti is beautiful. I mean, guys, I wish I could take some of you with me. That's why on Facebook I share pictures of the beauty. They call it the pearl of the island. It is still the pearl of the island. I see it. I experience it. When I'm there, I'm like, yes. I mean, it's so beautiful. I say this to say one. Notice this morning we sing some songs that are from the hymns, all right? I'm open. Any of you can come and tell me, hey, Pastor, would you sing this song? I mean, Sandra. Sandra sent me songs all the time. Great song. She doesn't ask me to sing it, but she's like, what do you think about this song? But do not go on my timeline on social media to ask, to do what you do. I did not appreciate that. I say this to warn everybody else. I forgive you. It's all right. But I love the hymns. And this is something I want us, the older crowds, to notice. Do you notice the kind of discard mindset from the older generation? We think, well, the younger generation, they're just loud. I remember grew up in my church, and we and a group of us encountered the Holy Spirit, and it was so awesome. We were on fire for the Lord. So then our leader thought he would send us Sunday morning. He would send us out to people from the church, that are from the church, who couldn't come to church. So he would send us out like about 8 o'clock. And the service would start at 9:30 or something like that. Sunday school? Yeah, doing Sunday school. He would choose people in the church that were sick. And send us to their home so we could, pray with them, encourage them, and then he gave us a certain time for us to come back before the service. So we would work like that. But then when we would be coming back, we were excited to go out there to pray for people. Of course we were young, but we weren't dumb. Because the problem is, the older people, sometimes they think, young people are dumb. Yeah, some of them are dumb. Yeah, okay. Let's not be delusional, right? Some of them are dumb and stupid. But I tell you, when you find a young person who encountered Jesus, and I remember, I was what, 18? I was 18. And Kendra was part of the group. And we would come back excited. We excited. I mean, it was just like, but then at the time, the pastor and some of the older, wiser Pharisees in the church thought the best they could have done is shut us down. They told us, they said we were too loud. Yeah, I believe we were loud. But I believe we needed the leaders to surround us, to come and say, well, what's going on? Talk to us. Don't discard us. Don't discard, you know, don't discard what God is doing right now. Do you know the younger generation who is on fire for Jesus, they're not listening to the hymns. They're listening to Maverick City music. They're listening to Elevation Worship music. They're listening to Bethel. They're listening to Upper Room. They're listening to, you guys name it, Tritabit? Something like that. Okay, they're listening to Tasha Khan. They're listening to Sissy Wine. Sissy Wine she's kind of the older crowd, but she's encountering fire of the Holy Spirit. But, the hymns are powerful. And I need you to know your pastor. I mean, thank God for Dan, for all the years, you know, he's served us as a worship leader. But as of now, we do not have a worship leader. I'm praying and I'm open for God to send us a worship leader. Thank God I am a musician. In our Bible school, I told people, anybody, I said, if you sense God's calling you to ministry, learn how to play an instrument. Because as a pastor, and also as a musician and a singer, I can sanction or, you know, musician, I can pick and choose my musicians. If someone doesn't have the character to play, I can tell them to sit down. Because I don't depend on them. I can take Bible guitar and lead God's people in worship. So that's, I say that to say what? In our church, we have all different ages. And some of us are older, wiser than others. I ban here the mindset that our way is the best way. Jesus' way is the best way. There might be a time where I'm teaching you new songs. You know, he turned me around and off. I can't say it. But if you think about the song Becky led us this morning, it says, I was sinking deep in sin. Anybody else can testify? Yeah, I was sinking deep in sin. But what happened? I was far from the grace, the peaceful shore, very deeply stained with it. Have you ever watched, have you ever looked at the words of the last song we've been singing, one of the latest songs we've been singing? The title is, I Thank God. It says, I was buried. It's the same word. And then the chorus of this song, Becky led us earlier, says, but love lifted me. He picked me up. He turned me around. He lifted me up. He set my feet on the solid ground. Guys, the same song, the same word, but different style, different way. Can you imagine if the Lord doesn't give us the wisdom enough to realize His word is being spoken? The same declaration is being made. If we don't see it that way, you know what we're going to say? Well, this is not a hymn. This is out of my comfort zone. And I said last week, do not miss what God is doing all over the earth. Amen. That's why I spent time in God's presence, because I do not want to miss what God is doing on the earth. And when I see it, I'm like, okay, Lord, you're still working. Guess what, God? You come and do it here too. You come and do it here. I don't want to be stiff in my ways. I don't want to be a stiff-necked Christian. You know stiff-necked people? Can't turn. Can't burn. I don't want to be a Christian without a voice. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Especially us. Most of us are the older crowds. We're part of the older people, right? We're wiser. We could say we've been there, done that. I mean, you could notice I'm wearing some really shiny, bright shoes this morning. Would this be my style? I bet you not. Do they look good? Do they look good on me? Oh, yes, they do. But my kids are teaching me how to dress up. There used to be a time where I would tell them I bought them some shoes. I'm like, it doesn't matter if you don't like it, you wear it. See, a payback right now. Because they think their force is, it's been a long time where I bought a shoe. I'm walking, I feel like I want to look at my feet. Ryan says, Dad, you gotta walk in them so you break them in. I don't want a gap between me and my children. I don't want a gap between me and my grandchildren. I gotta listen to them. I don't want a boy in church. Jesus is not boy. And none of you guys are boy. None of you are boy. You wise, you older. We need to listen to you. But at the same time, you need to be careful. You need to be careful. You need to be careful so the younger people don't come here and be like, well, this is so boring, it's not for me. Because our mindset, sometimes you speak without even speaking. Because, you know, people in your presence can sense things. These doors are wide open for people who are hurt. These doors are wide open for people who are looking for love, acceptance, forgiveness. These doors are wide open for the broken. These doors are wide open for anyone who's looking for Christ. Now, our hearts, are they ready to accept and receive someone who looks terrible? You know, what does someone who looks terrible look like? Probably in our book, it's someone who is wearing a short-sleeved shirt, full of tattoos. He's got piercing everywhere. He looks weird. He looks like he's been through World War VII. He looks terrible because he's hurting. Or, if someone like that would walk in through our doors, would they feel accepted without us even saying it? Because our mindset. See, as a man think, so easy. As a man think. That's why I took this time to tell you. We're not trying to be cool. We're not trying to look like anybody else but Jesus. And you need to be reminded that our church, Restoration Church, that's what we're striving for. I'm striving to be like Christ. I'm like, okay, God, when the time comes, I want you to find us faith. Lord, when the time comes, I want you to find me faith. This is where you plant me. Those are the people you give me. Lord, I just want to stay focused on you. Okay? At the same time, I'm not here to listen to you. You might have suggestions. You know those people, they have all kinds of suggestions, and they think, who do you think they expect to do it? The pastor. I can't do it. So, my brothers and sisters, please, talk to me. There's something I put in front of my office, I don't know if you've ever read it, but I said, you all are welcome here. Always welcome to speak to me. Never on social media. Never on social media. If you have something to say, come find me. Don't go speak on my timeline. Amen? Thank you so much for understanding. Now, the title of my message. You know, I know this talk can be a little uncomfortable, but you hear my heart with all respect, with all honor. I say that. And you know I love you, and I know you love me too. You know, there's room in Jesus for us to be human. So, everybody take a deep breath now. Let's go. That's good. Maybe you want to grab my glasses for me? My glasses in my bag. Today I want to talk to you. Probably, you know, we're getting into a season of what's coming up? Easter, right? Easter. So you're gonna see the cross. People are gonna talk a lot about the cross. Thank you, my dear. People are gonna talk a lot about the cross and all that stuff. But this is a message that has been in my heart for a couple weeks, but I knew I was gonna get to it. Christians, spiritual growth. What is spiritual growth? You know, spiritual growth is the process of becoming more like Christ. Why is it important for us to grow spiritually? Well, just think about it. I'm 46, all right? 46 years old. That means I was born in 1997. I was a baby. Did I say 97? 77. All right. You guys are really listening to me. All right. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you. All right. Yeah. My English must be good. Okay. So I was born in 1977. Okay. 1977. February 23. So I'm 46 now. So you can see there's growth, right? Physical growth. You know? And the crazy thing is, I remember when I used to have hair. I wish I could have hair like my kids, like these guys, you know. Elijah, man, please, could you pray for me? You know, because I just want hair like you, man. And the thing is, I look back, I'm like, there was a time I could grow hair like him, but I didn't want it. You know? So now I'm like, I'm going bald, you know, trying to keep my hair. But that is part of growth. I'm growing older. I'm growing wiser. So I'm losing my hair. I'm getting white beard. I'm okay with it. That's part of life. I was born. I grew. I'm still growing. Physically. Spiritually, it's the same thing. You were born again, and that's why I want to put a lot of emphasis right now on that. You need to understand that man is three-part being. Man is a three-part being. I am a three-part being. You are a three-part being. What does that mean? The real you is your spirit. You have a soul. You dwell in a body. You all knew this already, but I'm going to sing to the choir. I am a spirit. Help me out. Repeat after me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I dwell in a body. So your will of you is your spirit. Your spirit man. Listen to what it says. Your spirit and the body are not the same. There's an outward man and an inward man. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16 says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, right? I never give up. Even though my body is dying, please. We were together last night, and I was listening to, it was very humbling. We were with Tony and Roxy. And they were talking about life expectancy of a dog, of dogs. I'm sitting there, of course, I can't talk, right? It was so nice, I can't talk, I'm listening. And they're pulling online, you know, how long a dog lives, you know, it's like, and then we went back, well, what about human? I said, okay, guys, I can't give you this answer. Psalm 92 talks about, we live to be 70 years, according to God's word. Our life expects expectancy. The length of our life on this earth is 70 years old. And then it goes on, it says, 80 to the most robust. So those of you that are in your 80s, burn hats off. Amen. You know. Those of you that are like 75, 76, I tell you, please, keep working on me. I want to be like you. So you go physically, you go going down, but though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed daily, every day, our spirit. And as I teach you on this, I want you to be aware. When we say, let us become more aware of your presence, let us become more aware of your spirit, I want you to become more aware of your spirit, man. I want you to put a lot more emphasis on your spirit, man, than your body. It doesn't matter how much we exercise. I could do this forever. I mean, you know, I bet you some of you can't do this. But I bet you there was a time you could do it. I bet you there's going to be a time I won't be able to do it. It's just part of life. This physical body is going down. Embrace the idea. Some people, their idea of death is caught up in the air. You know, I want to be caught up in the air. The raptors, rapture. They're expecting rapture. Let us not forget that the Bible says, pleasure, precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. When you pass from this life to the next life, God rejoices. Don't try to hang on to your physical life. Accept your season. You will, all of us will die. Sooner or later. One way or the other. But, 1 Corinthians 4:16, that is why we never give up. You should never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Your shell, the real you, lives in your shell. That's why the Bible also says, I have a debt, but I don't owe my flesh. As spiritual beings, people that have been born again, you should not live according to your flesh. Because the flesh has desires that are opposite from the spirit. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 6 and 8. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have the building from God. We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. What does that mean? It means, that's why when we go to heaven, you will recognize me. I will see you. I will recognize Walt. Walt will be like just like him. We all gonna look like the way you look, except we're gonna have a new tent. An eternal tent. Man, guys, this is the good news. Spiritual growth. For you to understand spiritual growth, why is it important in your life? You also need to understand that spiritual growth began at new birth. You remember back in last year, I preached a message and I had a phrase that says, born once, you get to die twice. If you are born one time physically, you will die twice. What does that mean? That means the second birth. That means if you, let's say someone who hasn't accepted Jesus as his Savior, when he died physically, he will get to experience eternal death. Physical death is not the end. Everyone who lives on this earth has eternal life. But then, your eternal life depends where you're going to spend your eternal life depends on whether you accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross.
Amen.
That's clear?
Yeah. Yes.
I know this is more like a teaching. I'm going to get down to, there's a verse in the new birth. Let's talk about the new birth. It's clear that your will you is your spirit. And you have a soul. In your soul, that's where your emotions, your feelings, you know, your temperament. That's why in Romans chapter 12 it says to let God renew your mind. Your mind is from your soul. When you become a believer, it's not enough to just confess Jesus as your Lord, but you need to grow spiritually. Just imagine if, have you ever seen a malnourished kid? It's heartbreaking. I've seen kids that are 5 years old, they look like they're 3 months old. Their belly's big, their head's big. They usually don't live long. 4, 5 years, 6 years, they will die malnourished. Because they were born physically, but they weren't taken care of. So therefore, they didn't grow. Anything that's born and that's not in an environment for growth will die. The new birth. Open your Bibles, or one can put it on the screen. Listen to this story. How important it is. And this morning, I want each one of you again to go in your conscience, making sure that you're born again. You need to know, in your knowing, you are a believer. If you don't know that, we're going to pray a sinner's prayer to make sure, I'm going to invite you to open your heart and let Jesus in your heart. John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, everybody repeat with me, born again. See, this answered my question. Born once, that's physically in this life. Born the second birth in this life is being born again. Jesus said it, unless you are born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Meaning, unless you are born again, you do not have eternal life. Period. A simple question you don't have to answer. And I want you to look in your heart. Am I born again? Am I born again? Am I born again? And if you're not born again, this is the time. And if you're born again, Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, the Spirit of the Lord bear witness in your spirit that you are a son or a daughter of Christ. So how do you become born again? It's very simple. You believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you confess in your mouth that Jesus is Lord. But just to cover the basis, I invite everybody to close their eyes. Just to make sure, hey, this is not just a sermon or a teaching just to teach, but this is the word for the season. You must grow spiritually. So therefore, for me to grow spiritually, I have to be aware, or I have to make sure that I'm born again. So as all of us close our eyes together, let's just pray this prayer with me. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you are Lord and Savior of this life. Right now, I invite you in my heart. I ask that you would forgive all of my sins. Give me the ability from today to live for you. Amen. You see, it's a simple prayer. And if you pray this prayer for the first time, I want you to talk with me. You must know in your heart you're born again. Most assuredly, I say to you, Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb to be, and be born? Now, we all understand the term born again, but can you imagine the first encounter Nicodemus is having with Jesus, and Jesus told him, dude, you don't get it. You're such a great Pharisee, and yet you don't understand. Unless you're born again, there's no way for you in the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus is looking at Jesus like, oh man, there's no hope for me. And then he's like, Lord, how is that possible? For a man like me, I'm grown, you know, that's completely impossible. And Jesus answered, verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born, help me out, born, I assure you, unless you're born of water and spirit. I think I'm reading from the NIV, sorry man, I'm reading from the NIV. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born from water and spirit. Back in the days, I think it's still like that, but I remember back in the days when a man loved a woman or when a woman loved a man, they talk about it, and then they want each other. One of the things they want to do is get married. They coin the locks and get married. Like, we choose each other. But you know what happened? Their soul tie and union doesn't start on July 1st. There's already a soul tie at the moment. The guy's like, would you marry me? And she's like, yes, yeah. And then they talk to their parents. Oh, they're already tied up. Oh, there's already that commitment. It's like, we choose each other. I renounce to every other woman out there. I renounce to every other man out there. This is it, baby. And then, guess what? They send out a card, save the date. The wedding day is baptism. That's why, if you say, if you call yourself a believer, you haven't been baptized in water, check out your commitment. If you say, I'm following Jesus, I love you, baby, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And guess what the guy's going to do? He's going to buy a ring. And we keep telling the young girls that. It's like, man, unless the guy put a ring on it, guess what? He's not tied up.
That's right.
There's no commitment. Yeah. And that's why back in the days, remember, religion make us believe, oh, baptism is this, oh man, you gotta be pure, you gotta have it together. You don't get it. It's like, man, Kendra and I, we got married 24 years ago. All of you got married, you know, most of you, the ones that's been married like 40, 50, 60, 30, whatever your age is. You had no idea what you were getting yourself into. But there's one thing. There is what, Nancy? Commitment to Walt. Walt committed to Nancy. And then what, 62 years this year? 62 years later. What a legacy. They can sit you down and tell you stories. Did we tell Walt we're coming to his house? Men's group? Did you call him? Not yet. Sorry, Walt. Well, I just want to make sure they don't miss it, or they make sure we tell Nancy that we're coming for lasagna. So, anyhow, you got the message. Unless, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, unless there's a wedding day, and I hope, and I'm asking each one of you here, if you haven't been baptized in water, talk to me. Let's do it. Get baptized in water. Commit yourself to the Lord. Commit yourself to the Lord. Say, I love Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. These are the word of Christ. Unless you're born of water. And he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then Nicodemus is like, well, how is that possible? Then he goes and explains. He's like, unless someone is born, this is the process. You're born of water, meaning there's a wedding. Everybody comes together. We celebrate. And then, from this verse, we jump to Matthew. You don't have to go there. And Jesus said, go and preach the good news to those who believe, baptize. baptize them in the name of the Father, the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus said to the disciples, teach the new believers how to observe, how to keep my commandment. What does that tell you? New believer, commit to God, water baptism, and then it says, this new believer, don't allow them to live the gospel by themselves. Teach them. This is where family comes to him. Play, right? Home group, cell group, the older believers, mentor the new believers. Guys, God's going to bring people here. You've been in the gospel for 30 years, 20 years. As long as you're still breathing, get out of your mind that you've been there, done that. God still wants you to disciple the younger generation.
Amen.
He still wants you to invest in the new believers.
Amen.
I believe there was a couple that came here last year and a half ago. And I believe, well, they didn't stay because they were looking for something else. And we are a church, we love people. You know, we embrace people. But I believe we failed too. Because that couple, I believe that the wife could identify with some of you. She told me that. But then some of you are too busy to notice that. Do you know it takes a village to raise a family?
Amen.
It takes a family to raise a child. Mm-hmm. Don't try to remember those young kids after they got married. They're like, well, we're moving away from you, mom and dad. We want to have our own family. And then they move away. 2-3 years later, they start having kids. They're like, well, you know what? We really need mom and dad. Guess what? Mom and dad is sweet babysitting. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, pick them up, drop them off. Can I don't listen to that? You know what I'm talking about. Not only that, they have game night with Grandpa Jane, right? You know, so then that gives mama and daddy a night, 2 nights away. Why? Because we need the family to raise people.
Amen.
It's the same thing with God's church. The spirit of individualism gets in there and think, well, we don't need each other. We do need each other.
Amen.
And I thank God that us here, we understand that. But if we continue to grow in the same mind, as God brings us new people, baby Christians, it's not only me that's going to focus on discipling them, but all of us will see the necessity to invite them in your home group, to see what they need, see maybe they're identifying with you. Unless, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, water baptism is a must. And I'm gonna repeat it again. If you're not baptized in water, please talk to me. Let's get you baptized. If you've been in the gospel for years and you thought, maybe I didn't need it, let me bring it to you today. You need it. Are you committed? You're committed. And then it says the Spirit. And that, once I'm done with teaching spiritual growth, I'm going to teach on the Holy Spirit. How important the Holy Spirit is. When you become a Christian, you have a deposit of the Holy Spirit in you. All of you have the Holy Spirit. Actually, you're born by the Holy Spirit. You're born again by the Holy Spirit. But also, this here, Jesus is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're baptized in water, but you also need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does the baptism of the Holy Spirit look like? Well, we'll get there. Because I know a lot of people, they have different ideas about what the Holy Spirit baptism looks like. Well, we'll be talking about that in the coming weeks. Jesus says, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, obvious. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. So when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, You believe in your heart that He came to rescue us from sin. The Bible says, this verse says, bit right away. Your spirit is born again. Hallelujah. Can I have a witness? Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
That's it. It's not complicated. Nothing you can do. You don't have to do penitence. Penitence. I don't know if that's an English word.
Yeah.
Penitence. You don't have to carry your physical cross. You just believe in your heart. He is the Lord.
Yes.
And you're born again. Jesus said, do not marvel when I say to you, you must be again. The wind blows where it wishes, right? And you hear the sound. You hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes. It comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. I want to stop there because that's a different, that there, I don't want to go there because that tells you something about the cross. Save that later for Easter, something like that. But you must be born again to grow. So now, since we set this aside, we know that all of you here are born again. People that will be watching this later when we post it online, you make sure that you are born again. You are a believer. How many child of God we have here in this house? Amen. You know in your knowing you are a child of God.
Amen.
So therefore, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. To know Christ. Spiritual growth is the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. So for those of you who have kids, I don't know if you remember the time or the day, the day you realize, man, this kid's behaving like me. Remember that? I remember those days. I remember there's certain things I used to do at the house. You know, Kendra would bust on me and stuff. Like, man, you shouldn't be doing this. And then all of a sudden, I see Ryan's doing it. And I'm like, I cannot tell him not to do that. I remember when I started changing my behavior because I realized, and Kendra says, you know, I talk to them, I teach them all the time, but every action is you. And I remember the day I realized that. We want to be like our parents. Spiritual growth is the desire to grow to be like Christ. And I pray that all of you here, as we talk about spiritual growth, you want to be like Christ. You want to act like Christ. Now, how would I be like Christ and act like Christ if I don't know how Christ acts? Well, that's why Bible studies, you know, home groups, stuff like that, reading your Bible, you know, studying the Word. Don't let people tell you who Jesus is. But you go find out for yourself. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 3. That's one of the chapters I really love. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever happens, I never get tired of telling you these things. And I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs. Those people who do evil. Those mutilators who says you must be circumcised to be saved. In this context, we could add, watch out for people who tell you must do this, don't do that. You know, eat this. Today is more precious than tomorrow. Watch out for people who try to put a bunch of laws, principles for you to follow. Watch out for those people. Verse 3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, Paul's talking. He's like, if anyone could, indeed. If others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, for I have even more. And I love this from verse 5. Paul says, I was circumcised when I was 8 years old. And then when you study the law, 8 days, that's 8 years old. 8 days. Okay, you guys are definitely with me today. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Guys, do you know what all this means? That means Paul had it. A real Hebrew, if there was ever one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience of the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. Paul, in Acts chapter, is it chapter, one of the chapters, chapter 7, between chapter 6 and 8, the death of Stephen. You remember when they stoned Stephen? The verse that says, there was a man who kept the clothes for the Pharisees when they were stoning Stephen. Paul was there. And then after the death of Stephen, Paul went to the Sanhedrin and asked them, to the authorities, to the bigger Pharisees, tell them, guys, I need authorization from you for me to go and kill everyone who's following the way. Paul did. Our beloved apostle Paul. He says, I did. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Wow. Verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of Christ, for what Christ has done for me. No matter what you thought you were supposed to do to earn God's grace, this morning I'm asking you, blow that box, throw it away. It's not in our own way. You know, I've seen people that says, you know, thank God my church is still very traditional. Oh, thank God my church is not so boring, you know, in an organ. It's in my room, that is so sad. They're saying, well, I'm so thankful that my church is not like that. But they fail to understand in the new way, the way of the Holy Spirit, God can go and fall in a church that is still using this. God can still rock the world of such church if he finds home. If he finds space in people's heart. This is the gospel. When you think about it, people come with such opinion and divide what God is doing all over the earth. What God's doing in his church. Laws, don't do this, don't eat that. You know, some preachers or some, you know, I don't want to say old, it's more like, when I say old, it's more like people that have been in the gospel, they think, well, they know better. I've been there. I've served God for 40 years. What do you know? Baby Christians you are. But what they fail to understand, all of us have direct access to God. Amen. Young, older, it doesn't matter. If you're not careful, God might even throw you away with all your list. That's what Paul says here. What a list. Thinking about someone who's got it together. Verse 5 to 6. But he counts It's all those things worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when I compare with the infinite value of knowing Christ. And in those two words, I want you to underline your Bible in your phone. Knowing Christ Jesus. The more you know Christ, the more you will grow in Him. Spiritual growth is the process of becoming more and more like Christ. How do you become more and more like someone? By knowing Him. By following Him. Following their footsteps. What does Jesus say to do? What He says to do, that's what you do. That's why, once again, I'm going to break it to you this morning. Do not follow people. People will fail you. As long as, and those are not my words, those are the words I read from the Bible. As long as someone is following Christ, keep your eyes on them. You know something that broke my heart? Listen to me. Something that broke my heart. Forgiveness. We all want forgiveness, right? We all want it. And someone came to me a couple weeks ago saying, Pastor, they're doing something and they assume that somebody might show up. And they said, Pastor, I forgive so-and-so, but I don't want them near me. I forgive so-and-so, I don't want them near me. Is that forgiveness?
No.
Okay, some of you could be like, well, maybe, well. Now, listen to this. There's a difference between love and trust. I'm not asking you to trust them. But I'm saying, let's say I sin against you. You banned me from this place. And then some of you would be like, you know what? I don't mind. I forgive Pastor, but guess what? He's not stepping in this place. Is that forgiveness? What would Jesus do with you? Think about it. Oh, I forgive him. But guess what? I don't want him near me. Oh, I forgive. Help me understand that, please. Maybe I need help. Now, I understand you don't have to trust them. But when I read the Bible, when you forgive someone, you give them a blank sheet of paper to see what they will write on it. Because that's what the Lord does with us. The Lord forgives us, and when Jesus forgives you, He doesn't say, all right, now I forgive you. Now, you know, 6 feet away. 6 feet away. I don't mind when you come, but please stay away. Just give me my room. You must love everyone. And you must forgive them. You mustn't trust anybody, everyone. Especially after they broke your trust. But is it a kingdom thing to say, I don't want them near me? Now, you might do your best to avoid them. You know, there are families that are in turmoil because people don't want to forgive. Oh, I forgive my sister, but I'll never talk to her. I'll forgive my sister. I'll never talk to her. That's not the kingdom thing. Anyone who wants to be like Christ, first of all, I used to say that. I used to say that stuff. I'm not just telling you things. I hated my dad. I wanted him dead. Something that woke me up this week. I got a call Friday morning that one of my aunts, she's 72. In January, she went to Haiti in Jacmel to celebrate her 72nd birthday with her family. Okay, she came back. She was so excited, telling me about it, sending me pictures. I'm very close to a lot of my aunts and uncles. And then on Friday I got a call from her sister crying on the phone. Say, you know, Tatiana, just got a diagnosis of, she's got a bad cancer that's taking over, whatever, and they're giving her days to live. And I said, oh man, I'm sorry. And so she just called me to say that, and then hang up. I said, okay, well then I'm calling my cousin and stuff. I said, what's going on? But you know what caught my attention? That same aunt who called me to cry about her, she would tell me how she doesn't like her sister. And I'd be like, well, I mean, you're older. Come on, you should get over whatever issues you have. This is a time. This is just a time to get over it. Come on, forgive one another.
Amen.
I say my verse. Forgive one another.
Amen.
Because the plan of the enemy is that you live in bitterness and you live with regrets. Regrets, regrets. It's like if today would be the last day for someone you had to forgive, what regret would you have? Could be your mean uncle, your mean aunt, your mean mom, your mean whatever name. That caught my attention. I'm like, wow. Look at the end of the day. Nothing matters. All this fight doesn't matter. And I'm thinking funeral. I'm thinking how emotional they get. I'm thinking bigger. There's going to be this funeral and all of them going to be like so devastating, crying, or so sad. Oh, my sister. But me, I'm thinking, man, I've been a witness how they really hate each other. Hypocrites. They missed it. They missed the season where they could be nice to each other. They could be forgiving one another. They could be so kind to one another. God is calling you and I out of them. That's what the church is. You've been called out. You've been saved. You've been called out of them. You've been called from the deeds of darkness. Now you live in the light. So therefore, you forgive. Amen. Whatever they've done, forgive them.
Amen.
Let it go. Let it go. You don't have it anymore. Let it go. Let it go. Come on, help me out here. Let it go. Paul says, I count him everything. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ. Spiritual growth is knowing Christ. Don't take their logo. Don't take their logo. God wants to use you as a peacemaker in your family, in your school, in your work. Don't go down to their level. Don't go down to, that's my word. God says, oh, don't go down to the level. You know, you stay on the highway, baby. Stay on the turnpike. You've got a free, easy pass. Let's go. Yes, everything else is worthless when I compare with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could what? Gain Christ. That's the word. And become one with him. No longer count on my own righteousness to obey the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Jesus. For God's way of making us right with himself depends what? On faith. I want you to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. You know what that means, suffer with him? That means allowing people to give your rights sometimes.
Yes.
Let them think you won't. Or time. Time will. If you're in the righteousness of Jesus, your righteousness will shine. Your righteousness will shine. Don't fight for it. Let them go. I can stand here and tell you tons of testimonies. What I'll do next week. How about that? Become one with him. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or other, or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. That's life. One way or the other, there will be life within me. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, we accept your word today, and we pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, as we continue to study how we grow spiritually, you would do your work in us to make us more like you, to give us the desire, like we sang earlier, the desire to obey, desire to trust, and a desire to embrace your way, not our ways, Lord. Father, we ask that you forgive our sins. And we choose to forgive everyone that sins against us. Thank you for your word. Your word is so liberating, Father. And we receive it. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let us stand. I want to sing that song again. Becky, won't you come up? Love lifted me. That's what he's doing.